Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hustle Black Forum. Here we do it bigger, we do it better, we do it longer, and out of necessity, we'll do it louder than anyone out here. So relax. Here's your host, Hustle Black.
Apologize for last week. We were on vacation last week. I don't know, putting up a podcast of one of our older shows, and for whatever reason that didn't happen, and kind of left you all out there in the space in the dark, sort of thing. We apologize for that. We'll try to see that it doesn't happen again. But welcome, y'all. Anyway, to our show tonight, Saturday evening, beautiful Saturday evening here in ATL. It's good to be back out here with you. I did get this conversation. I actually missed this last week and went and touched base just to make sure the hustle is all right. We all right, no doubt. We just taking a little R&R. Always get our way down to around Pan Mountain, I guess, around Memorial Day. Yeah, pretty close to the Hustle's route, a range, Peak County around that area. Yeah. So we were just goofing off, yeah. Over Memorial Day, so really like a relaxing weekend, getting around the golf. Did the too well on the old golf course. We don't know that. That's something else. Something we just wasn't into it. Hey y'all, welcome again. You know I'm not out here in the Hustle Black Forum. See it. To do it better, to do it longer, and out of necessity, sometimes we'll do it live. We like to make it known that we don't have to do this for a while. It's time for those weeks. I'm out there, but we're having to think about just a little bit to join in on the conversation. Hey, what we do, we advocate for social justice on behalf of America's Investment Team. Not that we love everybody, we love everybody, but we are part of that community by strengthening the town ourselves out here in Hustle Black Forum for advocating on behalf of America's Investment Team. Wow, we got a lot to catch up on here. It's been 2 weeks since we've been out here. Yeah. If you have a radio, all kinds of things with just being present. We got a bunch of Freedom Awards there. Bob Dylan, he gave a Miller Freedom Award to Bob Dylan. And some of the presidents do every year, or new church, I guess. But anyway, haven't seen Bob Dylan in years. Looks like something out of the past. That guy looks like he's about 100 years old. He's still alive. Kicking it, just Bob Dylan. I love his music. Oh, Oh, yeah, we did that too. We're very lucky. Yeah, we did that too. That bad thing, too. That's a very 50-50 thing. But anyway, there's a Fellow Freedom Award from the President. He's congratulated. Everybody, man, I must be out. Got a step from some of the Republicans, the Republican presidential candidates, I think the president had a couple of these things that kind of stepped on Mitt Romney, We're running along here, y'all. 7 o'clock, about 6 minutes after the hour here in ATL, y'all. Yeah, John Edwards, he who would be president, got a quitter on some kind of crazy charge. I think I was going to say that. He got me the hustle here, y'all, driving this thing. Yeah, trying to keep this thing on the track there, because we've been out here in a couple of weeks, y'all. We have to get some things. Our site went down, and we took us 2 days to get our site back up this week, y'all. Yeah, HustleBlack.com. Go there and check us out, though. That's where you can follow us and pick up on our archive shows. HustleBlack.com. HustleBlack.com is our website. Go there and you can follow us on get our Facebook page and like that page. Hey, y'all doing all right? We got a call in number here, too. Cyber Lane 310-742-1899. That's 310-742-1899. Check with the husband. We don't take many calls, but we will get you in there. This is a one man pony show here, for the most part. We just came back from a vacation. I don't know. anybody would like to taste the title of it, Fight Earn More Than 3/4 of the Nation's Income. Wow. We already knew that. I'm sorry. Hey, I'm sorry, y'all. But we already knew that. Now, if someone didn't know that, you need to get that out too. But most of my audience out here, we already knew that. It's a little, I guess it's a little wild. White earn more than 3/4 of the nation's income. All of them are like a state citing a great case study by senior research. Let me go back. According to a study by Centier Research, Centier, I guess that's Centier Research, private firm specializing. They completed that But that's what we talk about in our book. We talk about that. What we talk about in our book is what happened in the country. Hey, y'all. Welcome back here. We had a temporary belief here. I don't know. We started talking about the reason for the wealth gap in the country. talking about this study out of the Washington Post by this research group. Private firm specialized in income statistics that suggests that whites earn more than 3/4 of the nation's income rate. That's a real big shock to us here in, for the most part, in our community here on the Black Forum in particular. We, moi, if you will, an author, we write extensively in our new book about. That disparity and where it came from. looking at my family's history here in Georgia and in the country, let's go back to Georgia was even a state it was a colony under the English rule. I mean, yeah, we identified exactly what the problem is. In our new book, White Racism, Black Hate, and American Reality, we hopefully get a pretty accurate history of it, the problem, it being a system of a racism by the government. Oh yeah, and a serious a look and a take on it as, from our perspective, you know, what research that we've done on the thing, we go back and look at Pope Nicholas V back in 1452 issuing a decree to his Catholic subjects, mainly the King of Spain and the King of Portugal, which allowed them at the time to enslave, if you will, the Western Africans and even the Muslims of that day. So we go back and determine that that was one of the things credited with ushering in the West African slave trade that eventually led to my ancestors being enslaved here in this country, being shipped over here from West Africa. So we start there, and use that event as a starting point for racism in this country as we know it today. The subject matter of my book, the title of racism and hate, racism we suggest started with the issuing of this dumb diversity, as it was known in 1452 by Pope Nicholas V of the Roman Catholic Church. Check it out if you just want to see your own education. It's in my history. Kind of tied into my family's history, just looking at how that event and how it's going forward affects the society here in the United States. A society that I suggest that racism existed in the in such a way that not only was the society itself racist, but the government, the Constitution, not allowing for the classification of human as property. Then segregating them within the society into some caste system that, like the role of medicine. And we kind of look at all of that, and we talk about the antebellum society here that my people lived in. Here in Georgia, this Herrenbach democracy, where you had not only a class system between the rich whites and the poor whites, but then you had a caste system with the blacks so classified beneath the class. Civil War to a great extent, but still followed in a crazy way after the Civil War, right on that until 1954, with the black states and the suffering equal laws and all that stuff, and then after 1954, up until the 60s, the civil rights marches and stuff, still dealing with a lot of the problems that was in place from the beginning of the country, where folks were actually convinced that they were less superior than others. And other people indeed maybe every month. This is crazy, crazy cute. And then we go further. We go further to suggest that just by definition, just looking at the definition of the word racism, that person or a group of people, a race of people feeling superior to another race of people, what happened here in the country. But also it goes on to say that racism can be a system of government that allows such a system to exist among its citizens. Wow, that's what the Constitution did, right? Oh, yeah, that was a great doctrine. But it allowed for a racism within its confines, if you will, of the Constitution. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it could have put the churches in there, and they're starting out. It's not like that. That would change things tremendously, but it's good. Because, remember, it's working with five southern states that own, that had slaves, the five slave owning states that were known. Georgia being one of them, my family. It's called a Kimball. And that was just a state of colony, I'm not sure. So my family found it not only being subjected to the humility of the of racism as espoused by the white citizens, but the government itself discriminated against it in a big way. Yeah, the government itself is fine. The government is the one that I look at for redress and all of those things. They allowed for the South for other citizens to set a value on him as property. Okay, fought a war. No, 500 of thousands of folks died in that war, and yet the value of those 5 million ex-slaves was somehow wiped away on the other side of that civil war. It can't happen, y'all. I'm telling you, it can't happen. The day before the Civil War is over, the 500,000 slaves in the state of Georgia had a value of over $300 million. A lot of money back then, y'all. But slave owners used to finance their whole business on the back of those slaves. They were an intricate part of the capitalism of the southern economy. Back then, the 5 million Americans back in the day who were slaves at the time. That $300 million that those that the value that was placed on the slaves in Georgia, that value can't disappear yet. So what happened on the other end? Now, history points out, and my story hopefully will back it up, or at least my story hopefully will point it out that my people indeed were expecting reparation at the end of that Civil War, y'all. Land at the very, very least and that had been discussed. And the funny thing we found, just looking at it, that indeed the powers to be of today, Abraham Lincoln and a group of the Republicans in Congress had meetings with the abolitionists before and during the Civil War, including Frederick Douglass and a bunch of other abolitionists, trying to ascertain what would be a proper compensation after this war was over for the ex-slaves. And Frederick Douglass had told them, Abraham Lincoln, that slaves would need three things to enter into the society and to feel his proper role as a productive citizen. The ex-slave would need three things: education, land, and and access to X amount of capital. Education, land, and access to a certain amount of capital. Those two things to be integrated into the society properly. This is what Frederick Douglass and abolitionists teach slaves and Lincoln and various members of the Republican Congress. Abraham Lincoln knew something like this would have to be done. I mean, he floated out that Homestead Act in 1862 out west there and gave away like 240 million acres. Mostly whites took advantage of that. Blacks were still slaves, still fighting that war, so they can't really get a hold to that land out there, but it gave whites the biggest land giveaway the country's ever seen. So anyway, as the Civil War go along and they continue to discuss what's going to happen, it became pretty evident that especially after 1862, when Abraham Lincoln allowed the slaves to join the Union Army, that writing was on the wall. So they continued to have discussions with groups trying to determine a way forward after that war was over in terms of integrating the new year. Of course, the South fought against it, and just so happened, Lincoln got killed. Some folks, for whatever reason, Lincoln got killed, and a lot of that plant thought process done away with when Andrew Johnson took over to rub the Confederate sympathizers. When he took over, he did away with a lot of things that would have happened. History, no doubt, would have been a lot different had Lincoln lived. but nonetheless, they had things in place far enough along to that in 1866 they introduced and passed the Southern Homestead Act, setting aside some 46 million acres of property in five southern states here in the South: Alabama, Florida, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Arkansas, I believe. Five southern states, 46 million acres of land was put up mainly for the ex-slaves to have access to property. How about that? Mainly so that the 5 million ex-slaves, Americans of African descent, could have access to property. 46 million acres. Now, this is 1866, y'all. What happened to that 46 million acres of property in the Southern Homestead Act of 1863? What happened to that land? The white folks in the South, the government in the South, did everything they could to see to it that that land would not go into the hands of the ex-slaves. And for 10 years, they fought tooth and nail to prevent my family from acquiring that land. And succeeded. By 1877, that law was wiped off the books with some 3 million acres out of the 46 million acres distributed to mostly white citizens, and the rest of the 43 million acres returned to the coffers of the government, who in turn sold it all to the big lumber folks like George Pacific got all that land. Like they could beat out of that land. That could have went a long way with the reparation and trading that value that the slaves possessed as slaves, transferring that value not only to them as they did to the former slave owners. Oh yeah, they did indeed establish their own reparation, if you will, by increasing the value of their property here in Georgia soon after the Civil War was over. If they didn't have any slaves to borrow money on, they increased the value of their property. Come on. Yeah? But, hey, y'all got the hustle here. We're rambling on. Then we go through a break, y'all, on the spot. 7:30 here in the ATL. Yeah, we did have a break with somebody. I don't know if that was somebody called in or something. We're going to take a quick pause for the calls. We get the rambling on here. But, yeah, we we're going to be right back for y'all. Y'all hang in there. You got me in the hustle here. We'll be right back.
Advocating on your behalf, you're listening to the Hushmo Black Forum. Tell your friends about us, Saturdays, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., right here in cyberspace.
call in, y'all, 310-742-1899 to reach us out here on Blog Talk, y'all. Blog Talk Radio. Oh, yeah, we come to you on Blog Talk. You're a great medium, y'all. Forgive me, message, y'all. I like to kind of plug this time to time. But the Blog Talk Radio, y'all, is where you're paying us, y'all. We kind of went off on a tangent there, y'all. Before the break, we were talking about the discrepancy, the economic discrepancy between Americans of African descent and Americans of European descent. Mainly just those two groups, y'all, because we don't deal, at least I don't, with any other of the other groups, because like I said, we strip the grassroots and we advocate for our community, mainly because we're a part of that community, mainly because when we write about it and research it, we find that those two groups are predominantly the two groups who that the conversation is about. So we just stick with that. We kind of just speak within our community out here on the Hushmore platform. Not because we don't love everybody. Again, we have to stress that we love everybody. Got a no hate sign on our door. You can't come up in the Hushmore Black forum hating. So we want to let you know that. at the same time, we discuss racism and hate. Write about it in our new book. It is an American reality. We treat it as a serious subject, and I hope, hopefully, the reader will view it as such. When they get a chance to read it. But we were just talking about and trying to lay some framework for why it is that there is such a disparity in the economics. It's not by chance that it's that way today. They so aptly pointed out in the study talking about the economic conditions that seem to cause it, but it doesn't seem to be a case of race. And I beg to differ. Yes, it is. That is exactly what it is a case of. What most studies like this is, what they do, they tend to start a study from today. You can't do this. You got to start this study from 1865 at the very least. When the country ended that civil war that had enslaved humans for some 200 years here, and then refused to properly reparate them after hundreds of thousands of folks had died for that emancipation thing, right? And they refused to do the right thing then. And went on and set out to do exactly the opposite. In fact, by depriving my family, it's just my history. You know, it's nothing that I made up. This is the history that we lived, the country went through. And we just pulled it out. And but yeah. We concluded that there's no way morally or legally that the country can, I used as an example the 500,000 Americans of African descent who were enslaved here in Georgia, had a value of some $300 million. That was the book value of the 500,000 slaves in Georgia in 1860. In 1865, after the Civil War, they were penniless and had no value at all can go to the bank and borrow not anything against their own worth, none whatsoever, which was almost a so that whole thing we talked about in our book in a much more detailed way than we if you're on the show, but we'll let you all know, just to give you a glimpse about our book and where we how it relates to the conversation of the day, because the racism that we speak of and wrote about in our book exists, and it is a continuation of that racism that started back at the formation of the country, all the way back to, as I said earlier, to Nicholas V, Pope of the Catholic Church, who gave an order. hey, I don't know what that there before. But he issued some kind of papal bull that suggested the king of Portugal and Spain could enslave people for the most part. Ushering in, I guess history at least credited that event with ushering in the West African slave trade. And in my mind, that was the beginning of racism as we know it here in this country today. So we kind of trace the history of that through my family's history here in the Georgia, in the country. And indeed, the leaders of the country had an opposition and was discussed at the time of that Civil War. Of how to best integrate at the end of the war, how best it was to integrate the new freed people into society. What would they most need to make them sustainable and productive citizens here in the country. And yeah, according to my research, Frederick Douglass and the abolitionists had got together with Abraham Lincoln and the other members of Congress, and they had discussions, and they had told Lincoln that they needed three things. That was education, property, and access to a certain amount of capital to sustain themselves while they got acclimated to their new freedom. Of course, we know that didn't happen. We know that didn't happen. But it did. Well, first of all, it didn't happen because Lincoln got killed. But the Republican Congress in 1866 did set aside the Southern Homestead Act of 1866, which set aside 46 million acres of property here in the South for the ex-slaves. And they, over the next 10 years, my family was prevented from gaining access to that 46 million acres, which would have went a long way toward satisfying a reparation for some of the inhumanities that they suffered prior to that Civil War. We got a caller there on 330. Hold on, we're going to be coming up on a break, and I'll kind of pick you up on the break and chat with you in the chat room. Just hang in there, 330. We'll be with you. Got the Hushmo Black Forum here. Y'all got me, the Hushmo, driving this train, trying to keep this thing on the track. We were kind of out of pocket last week. I told you, taking a little R&R, and didn't get a podcast up of one of our older shows. That's what we normally do when we take some time off. But last week was just kind of a blank 2 hours of a space up here, and we're glad to be back with you, though, this evening. Wow. Well, it looks like, I don't know, I'm going with the heat from the East, you know, basketball fan. I'm going with the Heat, but I don't know. I sure would like Oklahoma out there in the West, but San Antonio looks like they ain't having none of that. But we're going to talk about that, y'all. On the other side, we're going to catch you up on the sports. You know we do that too out here, y'all. Oh, yeah, we do. We do some of the stuff out here on the Hustle Black Forum, y'all. Some sports, entertainment, current events. The current events is what we do both. Yeah, kind of. Events that affect our community, we try to talk about, if you will. Yeah, try to. Hey, we're going to take a quick pause for the calls, y'all. Maybe we'll get a chance in the break to talk to this guy from 330 here. So, y'all hang in there. We'll be right back. You got me in the hush mode there. Hanging up for a short break.
Advocating on your behalf, you're listening to the Hushmore Black Forum. Tell your friends about us, Saturdays, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., right here in cyberspace.
Trying to keep it on track is what I'm trying to do here. Had a caller back in the screen room there, caller from the OH10, y'all. Yeah, we got a lot of friends up there in the OH10 there. We had one in the screen room there. We can't, it's hard for the Hushmo driving this train by itself to take many calls, y'all, but we do like to hear from you all out there in cyberspace there. Just do us all the good in the world to let us know that someone out there is tuning in to us. And we're appreciative. But yeah, we were just talking about here before the break there. We kind of got off on a tangent there dealing with this report that came out in the Washington Post talking about white Americans making 3/4 of the income in the country. Just that was news to us. But anyway, it never ceases to amaze me when they do these studies. In fact, Brandeis University did the same study 2 years ago, 2009, where they was talking about the wealth gap within the country, within the two communities. Like I said, and we deal with in my book for the most part, and just everything that's going on in the country. They suggest that when you start talking about race and racism, you're talking about two groups of people. That's Americans of European descent and Americans of African descent, period, and the rest of those folks come in on the periphery. But for the most part, you're talking about black people and white people when you start talking about racism. So we, Brandeis University did the study 2 years ago and suggested that a household value of some $92,000. This was 2009, a couple of 3 years ago, okay? That same study suggested that an average household of blacks of four had an economic value of, guess what, $2,000. Now, that's a discrepancy, y'all. The average family of four Americans of European descent, if you will, had a value, net value, of $96,000, whereas that same household, Americans of African descent, had a net value of $2,000. Now, that's a disparity. Hey, now, that's Brandeis University. They do social studies of the like. But anyway, yeah, something's wrong with that picture, y'all. And there's a reason for that. And it's not just, you can't, and they always say that it's not just because of this or that, or it's not just racism, it's because of all these factors. Yes, it is. It's exactly because of racism, but you can't just take a snapshot today come up with a conclusion. You have to go back in time, like I attempt to do in my book, with my family's history, chronicling my family's history here in Georgia, here in the country. We go back, to the formation of the country, of the state of Georgia, and look at how we interacted within that. Within a society, both as a slave, my people were slaves here in Georgia. Then after the Civil War, how the separate but equal laws affected my family here for some 100 years after 1865. I covered all of that and found out, sure enough, that proper reparations was never made to some 5 million Americans back then. You got in Abraham Lincoln. I'm convinced, just looking at the history of the research that I've done, I'm convinced that had Abraham Lincoln lived,
No doubt. He would have seen to it that 46 million acres of land that was set aside in the Southern Homestead Act of 1866 would have been distributed among the 5 million slaves that were set free. And I really believe that. My research showed that to my satisfaction, at least, anyway. So as time went on, one thing led to another. We got into this political purgatory period that I talked about after the Civil War, where we was once again held back by the laws of the government. The government itself discriminated against my people, against me here in Georgia, here in this country. So yeah, you can, somebody owed me reparations. I'm sorry, it ain't, it's just the way it is. I mean, in 1845, when I was born here in Georgia, I had no 14th Amendment rights, period, y'all. I could not, in 1951, go to the white school right next door. I had to ride a school bus to a rundown school somewhere here in Henry County, Georgia, yeah, in 1945, when I was born, without 14th Amendment rights. So on my behalf, the government, state of Georgia, first of all, owed me reparations. They denied me an opportunity to receive the same education, if you will, if you just want to start with that. But they denied so much more to me and my family in terms of access to any kind of economic upward mobility. It's crazy. And that's not just we ain't talking about just KKK racism. We're talking about government, USA government racism, y'all. The law. Hey, y'all, that's my Black Forum here, y'all. We're just rambling on this evening. June 2nd, 2012. Well, this year is getting away from us. Hey, y'all, kind of stuff was happening in 2012, too, y'all. You know, the Mayan calendar. Hey, 6 more months before the Mayan calendar ends, y'all. The Mayan Indians down there. You know, the calendar ends, 12-21-12, December 21st, y'all. Facebook's come to an end. I don't know if some folks say that might be the end of the world, of course, fun to. I don't know. I don't know. I don't. You know. I'm not. I won't sit here. The hospital don't know. I'm gonna tell you that right now. But I won't discount some event happening that day that could be significant. I don't know if it'd be the end of the world. Just me. But if you're watching, hey, get your stuff in order. That's all I can say. If y'all got a God, you might want to touch bases. Hey, I'm just saying, y'all. You better save some sun. Hey, it's Peter Garrett in the back there, y'all. Awesome. Max. Okay. Yeah, 2012, y'all. This is a crazy year. Hey, already, this year is crazy, y'all. Hey, the presidential race coming up is crazy. But we're going to be following that thing, too. See where they tried to bring Jeremiah Wright back. That kind of died out, mainly because I don't think Mitt Romney want to talk about religion. He don't want to talk about no religion. He don't want that to be nowhere near this conversation, because if religion gets to be part of this conversation, somebody's going to ask him about his religion. Hey, there's nothing wrong with Mormonism, I guess. I don't know. Well, is it? Well, is that? Hey, at one time, I know black people can they can do something. I think they can get to heaven or some crazy thing they had against black people for a long time, and that I don't see offering any of those ideas in that. Is it worth asking? I suppose. I mean, yeah. Hey, they had polygamy. Polygamy is one of their tenets of their religion for a long time. And his family, Mitt Romney's family, participated in polygamy. Moved to Mexico. His father was born in Mexico. George Romney was born in Mexico in a polygamy commune, if you will, in Mexico. Some of his relatives still live in Mexico today. Absolutely. So now, is that when you start talking about this administration attacking religion, do he think that the United States had a right to force the Mormon religion to put aside their beliefs in polygamy? In the 1800s, they did. Mitt Romney's family revolted against that and left the country. Went to Mexico to, as part of this polygamy commune. So it's actually his grandfather, yeah. That's on the internet, yeah. He had some, his two grandfathers had man wives, some 50 kids. Hey. What's Mitt's thinking on polygamy? Should the government have abolished it back then? Should his family have left the country because of it? These are legitimate questions, I think, if the conversation turned to religion. I mean, surely I can see where Mitt Romney is a little uncomfortable dealing with religion. I can see where he's a little really uncomfortable dealing with that subject matter and don't want no parts of it. He don't want no parts of it. He want to stay as far away from that as he can. He really want to stay a long ways away from Donald Trump, but he can't seem to do it. The Donald threw him a big bash out in Vegas this week. George, we would call the doll some kind of ignoramus. Okay. Hey, it's fun, though, y'all. I enjoy watching, the Republican Party right now, y'all. But it's so dangerous because you got that one segment who's driving that party now, that Tea Party crowd. And I suggest a lot of those folks are racist over there in that wing of the party. Hey, man, hey, I'm curious. I mean, I just call it like I see it. I mean, but they are dangerous. I suggest that some 20% of Americans of European descent still racist in the country today. That's a big number, y'all. That's part of the president's problem. I mean, you got 40, 50 million people who dislike you for no other reason than your color. That's a huge problem, not only for the president, for the country to have to deal with. And I think that's rearing its ugly head here, because really the job this president's doing, this shouldn't even be a race. This thing shouldn't even be close. Especially when you got somebody like Mitt Romney or Romney. I mean, this shouldn't even be a contest, you know? In my mind, I'm pretty objective when it comes to the president's job, too, by the way. I looked at all the presidents since Roosevelt, president when I was born. I mean, I don't know whether he died or something like that. I was born. But Roosevelt was my president. I mean, Truman, I remember Truman. Truman was my favorite president. I think Truman did more for Americans of African descent than any other president we've had, bar none. I'll qualify that and say, since Lincoln, I have to throw Lincoln in there because he really did, although the man upstairs is guiding his footsteps, I believe, at the time, but he did But I'll put Truman right up there with any of the rest of the presidents when he integrated the military in 1948. He integrated the military in 1948, if y'all want to know what was so great about Truman. That one thing, with the stroke of a pen, executive order in 1948, he integrated the military. That had a profound effect on the society as a whole, too, by the way, because what it did when the Korean War broke out, the military for the first time was integrated in that Korean War. My brother participated in that Korean War as a Marine, and that thing was integrated. So after the Korean War was over, the soldiers returning to the country had a much better understanding of living side by side with white soldiers and stuff. It really had a profound effect on the argument that was going forth at that time, that being Thurgood Marshall and his group arguing cases leading up to Brown versus Board of Education. They was fighting that. Oh yeah, that thing was going on in 1948. They fought that case for that Brown Board of Education case. That was a combination of years of litigations of different cases and things like that that culminated with Brown versus Board of Education. I think they fought that thing for like 12, 15 years before it got to 1954. So, yeah, that had a profound an effect on the society when he integrated the service, Truman, Harry Truman did. And it kind of... that momentum carried on through 1954, through that Brown versus Board of Education decision. As a result of that momentum picked up by integrated military, it's why I give Truman such high regard. Harry Truman, one of my favorite presidents. Hey, we're just rambling on here, y'all. It's about, 11 minutes after 8, yeah, in the AGM. We, how time flies when you're having fun, yeah. We were talking about the NBA, yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, the playoffs is in full swing here. We go on with the Heat, but we ain't got no dog in front of y'all. Cause we Atlanta Hawks, the Hawks is our... So we just watch this thing from a from a distance, but we don't know. The Heat should win it, but it would be a lot easier for them to do that if they had Chris Bosh, and I'm thinking he's going to come back before this series with Boston is over, because really Boston put some on them last night, and. They looked like they was looking for Chris. But, the Kings and D-Wade have to work way too hard if they have to go it alone. Those two, they got to work they like some runaway slaves off. if they got to carry this load just them two. I'll tell you that right now. They got to play 48 winners of every game almost. And that's going to take a toll. That'll take a toll if they get by Boston. Hey, by the time they get to the West, they're going to be dragging. But hopefully by then, Bosch will be back if they should get by Boston. I think he will. I think he will. I don't know. Anyway, there's been some interesting games there. San Antonio family won a game. I think they're on tonight. We'll take you to it a little later. We'll look at maybe a half of it and see what's going on. Yeah, we really like San Antonio. Just because they got so much energy. And Kevin Durant and Westbrook, they got a couple of quality players there. Yeah. They got a couple of quality players there. That whole team is tough. We just don't see them over here on the East that much. And I think they eventually are going to beat San Antonio. Although San Antonio is so disciplined and so solid with what they do, I think age is just going to catch up with them. That's the only thing. I'm thinking age is going to catch up with them. Wow. But that's it on basketball there. So right now, if I was a betting man, I'd be putting my wages on Oklahoma and the Heat to be in the finals. And without that, and I tell you this, now with Chris Bosh in the finals, I think the Heat can get it done. But without Chris Bosh, I'd have to take Oklahoma. I believe Oklahoma would beat Miami without Chris Bosh. But either way, it'd be a heck of a finals if those two did hook up. French Open zone. Serena lost in the first round for the first time ever. She really choked. I hate to say that, but I hate to even use that word with Serena. But she let a bad call. She let a bad call get in her head, leading 5-1 in the tiebreak in the second set. After winning the first set, she let a call get in her head and went on to lose that thing. Had a 5-1 lead in the tiebreak. No way she should have lost it. And then she fought back in that third set to get that. She had a set point to get. She had a game point to get the 5-4. Had she done that, I think she would have won. But yeah, she's out. She got emotional, and lost the concentration. She's still the best thing out there. Remember, Wimbledon coming up in the Olympics, all on grass. That's her surface. She's gonna have to be dealt with. She ain't finished by long shot. But yeah, she did lose her emotions and just kind of went to pieces. Yeah, but that's and then Venus lost in the second round there. So Venus, Serena, both gone out of the fence. Yeah. Sloane Stephens, Sloane Bright Hope. Well, yeah, Christine McHale, she lost today. So, yeah, Sloane Stephens, I believe, is the last American standing female. I don't think we have any men standing. John Isden lost. A tough five-setter. This guy played more five-setters than anybody I've ever seen in my life. He's a big guy, too, playing these five-hour five-setters. One of them, he dropped dead. But he lost this one, but he played some 5-6 hours a third match. That's a great matches coming up there. John Isden, 18-16 in the third, in the fifth. Don't have topics. That's the principle. No, you got to play. Not in the third. Now they have tiebreakers. The ladies have a tiebreaker, but the men don't have tiebreakers. In the third, I guess the ladies don't have a tiebreaker in the third. That's what it is. They have tiebreakers in that second set because Serena was involved in it. She's in a tiebreaker. She's up 5-1. Should have won that in the match. She should have won that in the match. Red team. But that didn't happen, y'all. I kind of lose interest in it, although I do like some of the players playing. I watch some of the men. Looks like Cheryl Pova, she's probably going to win that thing. I don't see anybody beat Cheryl Pova. She's playing pretty good. Serena, but I don't think somebody that can dominate it like she do. Serena's gone. Now it's going to be tough for anybody else to beat him. Yeah. Let's see, Joe Rook, the quarterfinal with Sung and Djokovic, that'll be pretty cool. Let's see, Nate Allison. That's the quarterfinal. Thank you. probably be the best person to be play on play all the time. You think that this would be the person to get in the room. Since he play on it all the time, but I don't know. I done got away from the mic. I done leaned back like I got a wireless mic on here. But we hey y'all, it's about 20 minutes after 8 here, y'all. 8 p.m. We just rambling on here. We done turned to sports, y'all. We do a little bit of all out here on the Hushmore platform, man. We don't just cover the news, y'all. We cover the waterfront. Oh yeah, we do that too. But no, we are big sports fans, but we kind of followed up when you retired. Yeah, we retired. I mean, we got some time to keep up to date. But no, we really don't, because we got so much to do around here, trying to finish up our book and stuff. We get that thing in to my publisher, which it should go this week, hopefully. Because we're tired of nitpicking with it. But we're having fun with it. There's just so much going on in the world that we think we can continue to include all this happening in our book, and we can't do it, so we have to kind of we did close it down for the most part. I don't think we closed that thing down the last day of February. We said we weren't going to put any more new events in there. But since then, March, April, we did find articles and news events that we thought. My mom did Trayvon Martin. That thing was such a crazy event that went down. We had to we had to go back in the epilogue anyway. We kind of stuck a few things in there dealing with Trayvon Martin. We thought that was such a crazy event that we wanted to put it, we wanted to at least mention it in our book, and, so that it would be part of our history that way. So we think we got everything in there now. I don't think we'll be adding anything new as events, because really I think we pointed out everything back then that's coming to fruition now, I mean, in terms of the political process and what's going on in the country today, and the craziness of a segment of the society that would drag the country down to for no other reason than they have a problem with the president's color. I know all people are not like that. I said 20%, at least 80% of the population, great, great people. I know that. I mean, but you got 20%, you're talking about 40, 50 million people. That's a big number, yeah. That's a big, big number. I mean, hey, you don't need that many people to effect change either, by the way. Just looking at our political system, you could effect change, some serious change, with a much smaller of people dedicated to a certain issue. Can get it done. So you're talking about 40, 50 million people here that you have just about taken over, in my mind and my assessment, that Republican Party. That's dangerous. That's a dangerous number of people. They're doing real harm to the country. Hey, no doubt. So we got to be on guard, y'all. That's why we out here. Oh yeah, trying to see a light on it where we see it, and that thing is so crazy. but I see this thing here about more and more Chief Justice Stevenson, retired Chief Justice Stevenson, was saying that the present day justices made a horrible mistake when they allowed the corporations to donate all this money to the super PACs and things like that. He thought that was the most awful thing that this court has done, and perhaps this century. And I agree, that was the craziest thing. Now you got all this money tied up in to the politics, and it's crazy. It's dangerous. It's just a crazy, crazy way to try to let our politicians with all this money. You got a couple of rich fanaticals, racist, some of them are, that can really affect a lot of change and do a lot of damage to our political system. Yeah, he was talking about it. I don't know. That Supreme Court is they're watching. I said they're watching. I try to point that out. I did point it out looking at a little bit of just looking at the Supreme Court in their and then looking at the health care law. They in my mind, don't have any ground whatsoever to overturn that health care law, because the Congress and the President has every right to enact the law, and it was done properly through elected officials. They can, for the betterment of the nation, require other citizens to engage in interstate commerce. They can do it and have done it. And they do it. Donated into Medicare and Social Security is one such a use of that authority. James Madison pointed this out way back in the Federalist Papers, y'all. If y'all want to know if there's any doubt that the Congress don't have the authority or have the authority to force the citizenry to engage in interstate commerce, as that's what the argument is about this law. They're talking about the government can't force you to buy insurance. Yes, they can, too. Yes, the hell they can. And if it's for the betterment, and I say if 40 million more people get access to health care, that's for the betterment of everybody, period. Looking at James Madison's reasoning in this, by the way, it's Federalist Paper 51. If you want to know, go read it. Federalist Paper 51, James Madison addressing this issue to the citizens of New York in the Federalist Papers. Put forward that indeed the Congress and the executive branch had every legal authority to write such a law and put it forward and require citizens to from time to time for the betterment of the nation to require them to engage in commerce. That's what the health care law is about. and I don't see that they went through that step properly. I don't think they don't have any, I don't see any way they could overturn that without, and if they did, Jay Madison further suggesting that Federalist Paper 51 that the president and executive branch of the Congress can ignore. Hey, the executive branch and the Congress can ignore them, period. I don't know where this thing is going. It's crazy. But if I'm the president, I'm going to go back to the Federalist Papers and have the Supreme Court look at what James Madison was talking about, see if that who's a swing judge on that court, Souter, whoever it is, that's who needs to be looking at this. Judge Souter, he's a swing vote. That's the only one that makes a difference. Otherwise, you've got four and four against the Souter right on the fence. He needs to take into consideration what's at stake here. And we don't know how that thing is going to go. Hey, about 8:30 in the ATL, y'all. We're coming up on a break here. We're going to take a quick pause for the calls again, y'all. See if we can wind this thing down when we come back on the other side of 8:30, y'all. So y'all hang in there. We'll be right back.
Advocating on your behalf, you're listening to the Hushmore Black Forum. Tell your friends about us, Saturdays, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., right here in cyberspace. Thank you.
just about gone. We out here every Saturday, y'all, from 7 to from 7 in May, coming to you live in living color. Live and in living color, y'all. Over Blog Talk Radio. We love this media. I mean, it's just a fascinating way to get your message out. Got something to say, if you got something to say, anything, I mean, get out there. It's fairly inexpensive. A lot of my Facebook friends are out there listening anyway. I mean, it's amazing how many people do tune in to the various shows out on Blog Talk. And there's other mediums out there, but I love Blog Talk. That's just convenient for me. We've been out here. Like, I guess since 2008, we've been just started doing our show here a little over a year and a half ago, but getting serious with it. tell a friend about us, yeah. You know, to go out to the Huntsville Black Forum and check this guy out, come out there on series. we have guests from time to time, and we have a good time out here, trying to make sense of things that just make no sense. So it seems we try to do that on behalf of our community. Oh, yeah, we our motto, to do it bigger, to do it better, to do it longer, and out of necessity, sometimes we'll do it louder. Although we don't like to get loud out here. We try to keep everything on an even keel. But hey, sometimes we really can. But we try to keep everything calm, cool, and collected out here on the Huntsville Black Forum. We don't want to. But What's going on in the world, y'all? Oh, so much is going on. It's crazy. I mean, we got to do a little research on a medical issue that we're dealing with here. We're going to be doing that for the next couple of weeks. We might be consumed with it, in fact, for the next couple of months, trying to get a handle on what's going on with this medical condition that we're dealing with. So I know we have a good deal, so we need to concentrate on looking into the various avenues for dealing with it here, and we'll be doing that. But at the same time, we're going to be viewing in more and more on this 2012 presidential election. You know, that thing is so important to us that we can't take our eyes off of it for 1 second. So we're going to be fully engaged with looking at that thing. Especially after the 4th of July, I think that's when it really cranks up. I mean, everybody's zeroed in to it. That Republican convention is coming up. But after the 4th, I think people are really going to start to pay attention to what's going on between the two candidates and who want to do what, with who want to take the country where, and so forth. Because it's scary just looking at some of the positions that these Republicans are talking about. I don't know who. Certainly the average American should be scared to death. Not just the average independent out there should be scared to test, looking at some of each of his ideas and what we're talking about. It's crazy, y'all. It's simply crazy. It's scary that it's possible for some of this stuff to go down, y'all. Hey, I'm just saying. I think wiser heads will prevail come election day, but that ain't no guarantee, y'all. That ain't no guarantee. So we're going to be out here adding our 2 cents every chance we get to try to point out what we see and how we view the issues. And right now, I don't see why this race is even close. This thing shouldn't be nowhere near close, yeah. Not against an incumbent, a president. This thing shouldn't be close, yeah. But it is. It's razor close, razor thin. And I contend that that reason is just as simple as can be. Good old fashioned American racism. I hate to say it. I hate to keep harping on it, but because it's a fact. I mean, it's hard to change it. To not talk about it. It's hard not to talk about. It's not only hard not to talk about, it's almost impossible not to talk about and point it out. People don't like it. But it is what it is. I mean, yeah, it is what it is. I don't know what happened with that summing up in Chicago there with the Super 8 or whatnot, the 8 economic powers to be met in Chicago last week with the president. And just what happened, somebody got locked up for threatening the bomb place or somewhere. We didn't cover that too well because we last week the show was blank and we didn't put a show up and just felt awful about that. But we didn't kind of just skimmed over that somebody was locked up for threatening to do this. Those folks are dangerous. Those folks to me mean the president no good at all. And this thing is serious, and I just hope that the president is adequately protected, because I just don't feel good about his position at all. And, starting with the Secret Service, that's charged with the protection of the president. They have been doing some crazy things. In my mind, I mean, so I don't know. Hey, I just don't know. But, trying times, as they say. Hey, but you got me, the Hushmo here, y'all. Hey, you got me here to show the way. Yeah, hey, that's what we do out here, y'all. We decipher information, if you will, for the grassroots. Yeah, we decipher the grassroots stuff, too. Pushing that stuff up to the top, letting the top know how the folks down here on the bottom doing, or not, in our case, not doing. But we try to provide a platform for our grassroots, our 90% of our grassroots that don't have a voice or very seldom get their voices heard. We got 10%, but our 10%, our top 10% of us out there every day advocating on our behalf, doing a great job, too. They're doing a great job. Hey, but we feel as though the other 90% have an obligation to prop those 10% centers up in our community that's been out there for generations on our behalf. Our talented Panthers, W.E.B. Du Bois described them some 100 years ago. We got to get engaged and prop them up. That's what we try to do out here. Lord knows we need all the, I like to say, we need all the advocacy groups and voices that we can lay our hands on in our community. Oh, yeah. And if we don't pop ourselves up, who in the world going to do it? Soon they got Rush Limbaugh on this and empty in that group. Hey, y'all, I'm just saying. But that's what the Hushmore's Black Forum is for. We out here, we do advocate on behalf of America's Reference, mainly because we are part of that community. That's what we hate. Anyway, but by extension, we something happened here in the in the solar system, some kind of event took place. I'm trying to think exactly what it was. Let's see what it was. Some kind of event. I don't know what it was. It's kind of, you know, we pay attention to, well, it is something for you, though. The Florida judge revoked Zimmerman's bond. Come to find out before they made a ton of money with his website. Judge threw him back in jail or ordered him back in jail because he misled the court. By posting some meager bond, as if he didn't have resources, and discovered that he didn't have resources. So it's like a good one. Brought him back to jail. Next time he's out, I'm sure it's going to cost him a little more to walk out of it. So that's it. These came down here over the line and relevant enough. But the horse is over here. It's about coming up on 10 minutes till 9, y'all. It's just like how this thing wrapped up here tonight. We, thought about doing a show on Wednesday night, trying to figure out how we're going to squeeze that in if we decide to do it. It's funny, we might wait until after the 4th of July when that political season really kicks in and so much craziness will be going on that we'll need to be out here at least twice a week during that time. So I'm pretty sure by then we'll have developed a format for a second show, maybe on the Wednesday night there. That'll get us out here twice a week. That way we could got to keep up with the news because I'm thinking it's going to be crazy this summer. It's going to be crazy this summer, I believe, especially after the Fourth of July. So we're going to work toward that end, and we'll see how it works. We're just looking back at notes here of some of our earlier shows there. 4 of 16, that was last year, April 16th, we did a show on the Tea Party, talking about how the Tea Party, in fact, was no more, nothing more than mob rule, a faction of our democracy. Yeah, that's what our democracy is. Our democracy is nothing more than mob rule. And it's, I guess, in its purity, that's what our democracy is. It's a mob. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I know you were talking about on that show trying to define the difference between the republic and the democracy. Obviously, democracy is a form of government written down in a document like the Constitution that we have here. By definition, that is a republic. We have a republican form of government, no doubt. But the society, how the citizens interact and with each other and live together, function together, function as a democracy. So you got a system here that consists of a republican government, that being the Constitution, and a society that operates as a democracy, or at least as close as possible to a democracy in a republic. Can form of government as close as possible, but in fact, neither one of them exists in its purity. You neither have a republican government nor a democracy in the society. So the same reason. All the citizens do not have equal access either to the government, the Constitution, which is the republic, nor the democracy from which in which they reside. I suggest my history in the country suggests that American represents has never had equal access to the Republican government nor to the Democratic society. And history shows that. History bears that out. So, now, when they start talking about this republic, our republic, there's no more republic than this and it's neither for the same reason. Everybody didn't have equal access. It's as simple as that. We talked about that on that show, and it bears repeating from time to time because people say we don't know what we got here in the country. Neither republic or democracy. Not in this pure form. No, it can't be. You make a point about it in our new book, White Racism, Black Hate, and American Reality, where we look at our family's history here and kind of talk about how my family's history was shaped by racism and hate here in this country. And it's a fascinating read, fascinating take on racism and hate. We believe we think a lot of it. But anyway, it'll be out soon. Go to my website, hushmoblack.com, and follow it there. We'll announce it there. It'll be there for you to get your copy. Oh yeah, we'll have it out there shortly. That's just about gonna do it for us, y'all. Here's another night gone by the wayside. Here, about 3 minutes in front of 9 o'clock, y'all. We're gonna cut this thing off here, and we do want to thank you for sharing your evening with us this Saturday, and look forward to being back with you next Saturday at the same time here, y'all. 6/9/2012, 7 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio, y'all. We'll be right back here with you then. Until then, y'all, we're going to bid you adios, and we'll see you next time.
The Hushmo Black Forum, advocated on your behalf by covering news and events affecting the African-American community. Check us out at the Hushmo Black Forum, www.blogtalkradio.com.